Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. And I just like, for some reason, I just want to hear a little bit of noise, but wait a minute. This here ain't no Anglican, Presbyterian church. This here be a Holy Ghost church. And in Holy Ghost church, listen, in Holy Ghost church, we make some Holy Ghost moves, Holy Ghost sound, and we do it at the appropriate time. Like, we're not like out of order or anything, but we do it at the right time. And for some reason, I think that right here be the right time that you give the Lord a Holy Ghost hand, and like you mean it, in a Holy Ghost church. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. I don't want to see you standing around. Make a little noise in the house. Make a little noise in the house. Come on now. Oh, I see some Presbyterians in the back over there. That's okay. That's okay. We rub off on you. One more time. Give the Lord a hand. Come on now. Come on. We got to shake that thing off. Now, just go ahead, slap somebody in the hand, slap them on the head, slap them on the shoulder, and then you can be seated. Go ahead. Give somebody a slap around you. Sometimes you just got to get the stuffiness off of you. Man, I got a word for you today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us in this moment. So you open up your ears to hear what the Spirit of God would be saying. And so we've been talking about the spirit of conquest. And we are in actually Joshua chapter 1. After 40 years in the wilderness, a new generation has emerged. And they're one step away from the promised land. Remember, the first generation, they failed and forfeited their future, mainly because they did not believe God. And because they did not believe God, they had no vision for the future, and they had no guts to fight their enemies. But it was all pinned back to unbelief. But now there's a new breed, a new generation that has emerged. The old generation has died off in the wilderness. And this new generation is standing where their parents once stood 40 years prior. This generation has a different spirit. They're about to go where their parents failed to go. And in Joshua, in the first seven chapters of that book, we see like some sort of a prophetic map of God leading his people from here to there. It's filled with prophetic instruction. When we read the book, we read it as a historical writing. And unless you have the Holy Spirit, you'll not see it as a prophetic map to success, a prophetic map and instructions to giving you a prosperous future. And so when I look at these first seven chapters, this is what I see. This is the way you and I have been approaching it over the past several weeks. God is wanting to lead his people from here to there, from the east of the Jordan into the promised land. And in these chapters, God is coaching them for success. He's instructing them in how to take the journey. He's preparing them for the conquest. And so the first seven chapters in the book basically is God training them to reign in the days ahead, in the new season that God is about to bring them into. Now, we cannot miss the instruction. Again, it's more than a historical story. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. Isn't that what the good book is for? The good book is for God to make it come alive to us right now in this moment. That God would speak to us. That he would give us divine instruction. That he would speak to us about our future. That he would set us up for success. God is a God that is moving. He's a God of seasons. He's a God of the now. And God is speaking to his people right now in this moment. You've got to open up your ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God wants your future to be a success, but he has some things to say to you. There are certain things you need to surrender. There are certain things that you'll have to submit to in order for you to experience your destiny and a fruitful future. The book is coming alive. It's a season of conquest. God is calling us in to inherit the promise, to cross over our Jordan into the land he's allotted for us. For that will be very different for everyone. Everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different journey. God will be speaking to us specifically on different levels about different things. But folks, one thing is for sure. We are going after our future. We have the different spirit of the new breed, a spirit of life, a spirit of faith, a spirit of passion. We are not going to be like the former generation. We are going into our promised land in Jesus' name. We're going after it. We are going after it, not only individually, but we are going after it corporately. And the first thing that God wanted his people to deal with, we saw it in the prophetic mapping in Joshua chapter 1. It was the reality that Moses was dead. And things are going to be different. Things are not the same. And there's a new season that is encroaching upon them. And they must, it's not a negotiable, they must put to death their past in order to fully engage in their future. And then the second thing that we looked at in depth, we took a whole service talking about Moses being dead. The second thing we looked at in depth is that God was preparing them mentally and psychologically for warfare, that they would have to engage their enemy in this new territory and in this new season that God was taking them into. They had to have courage to stand toe-to-toe with their enemy, to fight their enemy, to kill their enemy, to dispossess their enemy from the land that they were occupying. They had to do it. God wasn't going to do it for them. And there are many scriptures in the text that God gives us that indicates that it would be a fierce battle, but God was promising them. The promise God gave them was like a two-edged sword. On one edge, it was the promise of the land that he has allotted for them. On the other edge, it was a promise that they would engage the enemy, the promise of battle. And this is the way it is for you and I. None of the promises of God just drift into our life. You don't just slide into your future and destiny without any struggles or fights or warfare or battle or resistance. It's the same thing. You got to be willing to fight as well. It's a two-edged sword. Every promise comes with a two-edged sword. You have the promise of the land, and you've got the promise from God of the battles. So God was basically prophesying to them about their future. That every new season that God takes them into and every new level that God takes them into, there's going to be new battles. And if they are not willing to contend for the promise, they would never fulfill their destiny. And now the very next instruction in the prophetic map, we took a whole service on this the last time I was with you, is that God was calling them to radical obedience to Him. God was basically saying, if you want to succeed in this next season of your life, you must surrender to me. You must be willing to take my instructives seriously, to take them and hide them in your heart and do what I tell you to do. And God promised them that if they would obey Him, they would have absolute victory. You see, obedience is not a guarantee that there's not going to be any battles in your life, but it is a guarantee that you will have victory over the enemy in every single battle. And if you read the text, God is saying to them over and over in chapter 1 that if you obey me, if you respect me, if you honor me with your life, if you take heed to what I say, you'll not only have absolute victory in every battle, but you will prosper, he said. He said, you will find good success wherever you go, in whatever you do. There was a great reward, God says, on the other side of their obedience to God. I know obedience is a heavy word. Obedience is a big pill to swallow, but God knows that it's going to cost us something to succeed and be victorious, and it's going to be respectfully obeying God's directives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And so if you and I are serious about conquering our inheritance, we've got to follow the steps in the prophetic roadmap. We've got to follow the same steps. It's in the book for a reason. And so all of this is happening in Joshua chapter 1. Now let's go ahead and continue. What is the next instruction, the divine instruction from God? Well, when we flip the page and we go into chapter 2, Joshua sends two men over the Jordan to spy out the land of Canaan. And Joshua says to them, spy out the land, but listen, take note. He says, especially Jericho. Especially, he says, keep your eye on Jericho. And the reason why, and I want you to just take note, put this in your back pocket. Jericho was a significant city. In fact, Jericho was the doorway, the only doorway, I would say, the doorway into the land of milk and honey. And so he sends the spies. He says, spy out the land, but especially keep your eye on Jericho. We'll look at Jericho next week or the week after, but just pay attention. Jericho is an important city to their destiny. He sends in the 12 spies, two spies. He says, when you come back, bring back a report of what you found. Very similar to what happened with Moses. But Moses sent out 12 spies into the same land some 40 years prior. I mean, I think Joshua learned something from that mess. Moses sends out 12. When they came back, they were all over the place. I mean, they were a mess. They were filled with unbelief. They were filled with fear. In fact, the reason why they never marched forward, because they listened to the negative, fearful report of the 12 spies. I really believe Joshua said, we're going to do things differently in this season. Forget 12. We're just sending two. We got a better chance of a good report with two spies instead of 12. And there's a story to that whole thing. We won't go beyond that. But the two spies went in. They spied out the land. They took their notes. And they came back to Joshua. But listen, there's something that happened in chapter 2. The two spies met up with a person in Jericho. Her name was Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab took them into her house. Rahab hid them, fed them with water and food, and hid them from the authorities that were looking for them. But there's something that Rahab said to them in their dialogue that's recorded in Joshua chapter 2. Listen to what Rahab said. Rahab said, guys, you got to understand what's going on in the land of Canaan. The people here are deathly afraid of the Israelites. After they heard that God brought them out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea with the strong arm of God, the Red Sea split. After they heard those stories, their hearts melted in fear, and nobody has the courage in Canaan to stand up to you and your God. I mean, they were in absolute fear, folks. In fact, Rahab said, the Lord your God is the supreme God in all of the heavens and in all of the earth below. And so with that note, they came back to Joshua and they gave the report. The report basically was that the Lord has given us this land. For the people in the land of Canaan are terrified of us. Man, what a different report from the report of the 12 spies 40 years ago. When they came back to give a report, they were like, man, I don't care what God said. There ain't no way we're standing up against them enemies because they are big and they are bad. And we are grasshoppers, not only in their sight, but our sight. And they will devour us. No way, no how. Man, this is a whole different report. I mean, they come back and they say, we are ready to take the land. The people of the land are terrified of us and they're terrified of our God. A whole different report. Why is that? This is a different generation, folks. This is a new breed of people. They have faith. They have a different spirit. They have passion. They are willing to charge into their future. They are not going to stay stuck in time. They are reaching forward to new levels, new destiny, new future. They are ready to take the land. Come on now. This is the generation that God is raising up. So now one would think, man, at this point, everything is set in place. Man, they are just, I could picture them chomping at the bit. They are ready to cross over the Jordan. I could just imagine the excitement when they heard that report, the faith that rose up in their heart. They are ready to cross over into their future. But God is like, not yet. Puts a leash on them. I know you're excited, but not yet. What do you mean, not yet, God? I mean, didn't you just hear the report? They're terrified of us. The land is fresh, it's ripe, it's ready for us. We can go in and take it. God says, not yet. I know what's right for you. I know what you need in order to succeed. I know what you need in order to take down your giants. I know what you need in order to prosper and find success. You listen to my directives. There's a prophetic mapping going on. I've talked to you about Moses. I've talked to you about preparing for war. I've talked to you about being obedient. Now I need to talk to you about something else. Not yet. We flip the page to chapter 3. There's one major thing that pops out in that chapter that's critically important to our conquest. If you're following and you're tracking on this map, you're receiving the words that are coming alive and the different things that God is saying to them, speaking to us prophetically, the ways and the steps we need to follow. It's God has a method here. There's progression here. They're moving closer and closer into their future and their destiny. They're just about ready to cross over the Jordan, but God says, not yet. God says, you've got to consecrate yourself. You got to consecrate. You're not ready yet. I know what's good for you. If you do this prematurely, you will abort your destiny. Not yet. He says, consecrate yourself before you cross over the Jordan. We're going to look at that in a second. But I want to make this very clear. The Jordan River was a threshold into something new. The Jordan River, the crossing of the Jordan, was a defining moment. But it would just bring them one step closer to the conquest. Crossing the Jordan was not the conquest, folks. It wasn't meant to be the conquest. It was to make them cross over into the beginning of something new. The crossing over the Jordan was the beginning of something great, something new. It was the beginning of a new season that was about to begin. But the crossing over the Jordan meant that they were to leave. They were to leave. They were to detach. They were to separate from something that was behind them. Cross over the threshold into something new. You know, we've been making this announcement about baptism. That's what baptism is. Water baptism is stepping over the line. It's crossing a threshold. Water baptism is saying that you are letting go of something behind you. Listen, it's water baptism is the crossing the threshold by way of water. By way of water. And it signifies the crossing over of the Jordan. Same thing. The crossing over of the water. The Jordan River was sort of like a baptism. It was letting go, turning your back on something behind you and being willing to cleave ahead, cleave to the future, cleave to your destiny. Stay focused, stay on course. When the Lord took them over the Red Sea, same thing. It was a baptism. The Bible said they were baptized into Moses as their leader as they crossed the Red Sea. They were leaving behind Egypt and they were looking forward to a new life, what God had in store for them in their future. It's a baptism. And so this is what's happening. They are about to cross over a threshold, stepping into the beginning of a new life, the beginning of a new season, the beginning of a new day for them. They're at Canaan's threshold, east of the Jordan River. And there were some things that they had to put in place for 3 days. 3 days. They had to do certain things prior to stepping over the threshold. For instance, the priest needed to prepare. They needed to prepare the ark to cross over. They needed to prepare themselves to carry the ark. The people were instructed in how to follow the priest as the priest led the way crossing over the Jordan carrying the Ark of the Covenant. All of this is significant, very significant, but there's one major thing I've got to point out, and this is what God has his finger on in this moment for you and I. During those 3 days, there was also supposed to be some very personal and individual preparation. It needed to happen in everybody, every individual in the camp of Israel for 3 days. Now, why is that important? When I read this, and I've read it a million times, something jumped off the page, and it was 3 days. 3 days. The number three is very significant in Scripture. Some of you know what three is, right? Three is resurrection. Jesus rises on the third day, rises from the dead. And so when the number three popped out to me, I began to think that something significant had to happen during those 3 days. They had to go or experience some type of death in order for there to be a resurrection. And there was, because God called them to a time of consecration. And when you consecrate yourself to God, when you consecrate your life, there is an internal death that takes place. And during this time, they had to die to something. During these 3 days of personal and individual preparation, God was calling them unto death. Why? Because he was about to raise them into a new season and into a new life. And the death was the death of their history. It was, they had to reconcile with their past. They had to be willing to leave behind the wilderness experience. I mean, all of it. Not just the painful experiences, not just the bad of yesteryear, but also the good moments, also the moments that brought them joy, also the exciting moments that they saw God move. I mean, folks, you got to hear me. They had to turn their back on their history. It was a moment of consecration. They had to die. They had to separate. They had to detach from everything that happened in their past. It was a shifting season in this moment. They had to be willing to let go of their former days in order to focus on fully engaging their future that God put before them. They had to fully align with what God was saying in this moment. And during those 3 days, they had to be put to death in order for them to rise. And on resurrection day, they would cross over. This is consecration. Here it says in chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What does that mean? Consecrate yourself. Why is that important to us to move into this new season? Why? Because here it is. Consecrate means, look it up in the Hebrew or in the Greek, it means to set apart yourself. It means to be separated. It also is where we get the word holy. It means to be holy. And that's what holiness is. Holiness is that I am separated from something because God wants me to be separated to something. And so the call for every single Israelite was that they were to consecrate themselves because God was about to do something amazing tomorrow. God was about to do something amazing in this next season. It denotes the letting go of something, leaving it behind so you could cleave to something else that's ahead. I mean, when a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, that's a consecration. Marriage is when a man consecrates his life, leaves something behind, mama and daddy, leave something behind in order to cleave to something better. Come on now. I don't mean to get you upset, mom and dad, but when your little boy becomes a big boy and grows up and wants to leave you to cleave to something better, don't get offended at that, man. Celebrate your son for becoming a man. Come on now. And so there's consecration. Consecration is I detach from something. Come on, somebody's gonna get this. You gotta detach from something in order to cleave to something much greater, much better. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. No consecration? Listen, let me just tell you how it is. God is basically saying it this way: no consecration, no wonders. There's no discussion about it. You don't want to consecrate? That's fine. No wonders. Don't expect your season to be filled with wonders. Here's the instruction to you and I. God is saying your future is bright. God is saying, I have a plan for your future. God is saying, there's a promised land for you. There are incredible things I have in store for you. But I'm asking you to consecrate yourself. I'm asking you to consecrate yourself. You must determine the things you need to detach from. You must determine what are the things you need to separate yourself from. You need to determine the things that are out of order in your life. You need to look at the things that are broken in your life that are hindering you from moving forward. You need to do a personal personal examination. Consecration is when I look within. I get with God. I'm in my secret place and I allow God to put his finger on something. I allow God to challenge me. I allow God to speak to me, and I will be willing to obey. Set myself apart. Consecrate yourselves, for God has something great for your future. That's consecration. It's important for us. It always is. They had to examine themselves, their motives, their intentions, their thoughts, their actions. They had to determine what they needed to detach from, what they needed to look forward to and cleave to what was ahead. They needed to rearrange things. They needed to bring order to certain places of their life. And God says, consecrate. You know what God is saying? You want this for your future. I've got it for you. It is set in place. But I just want you to know, I'm going to require something of you. That's where we lose everybody. We lose everybody there when it's going to cost them something. When it's going to ask you for something. When God's going to ask you to step up to something. When God's going to ask you to make a change in an area of your life. That's where people bow out. That's where you lose the majority of people. No fault religion. No responsibility on my end. We just want things to happen. They don't just happen. It doesn't just happen. God is saying, I've got your future. I've got your wonders. It's amazing. This new season is going to bring an incredible fruitfulness and joy and satisfaction, but it's going to cost you something. Okay, God, what's it going to cost? Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. If you feel that God is not requiring anything of you, you either have a calloused soul or you are just content with what you got. I want to tell you something. God says to you today, you've been created for more than what you're experiencing right now. Oh yeah, much, much more. If you want to be content and you just want to sit where you're at, fine, do it. But God is a God of seasons. He's a God of increase. He's a God of new levels. He's a God of newness. Come on now, that's the God that we serve. If you just want to live with where you're at and you're satisfied, fine. As for me and my house, we're not satisfied. We're going for it. We're going for the new season. We're going for our future. We're going for our destiny. God says, consecrate yourselves. Consecration also means step over the line. That's what it means. Step over the threshold. You know what that means? It means that in those 3 days, that they were supposed to step over the line first before they stepped over the line physically. They were supposed to step over the line internally. It was a preparation. They had to prepare for what was ahead of them. Tomorrow, the Lord will do great and mighty things among you. They had consecration is. Consecration is, God, come to me. God, speak to me. I'm open to hear from you. Show me the areas, Lord, that I need to bump it up. Show me the areas where I live in compromise. Show me the areas where I'm harming you. I'm harming myself. I'm harming people around me. Show me the areas. God, I want to step over the line. God's saying, if you want to step over the Jordan, if you want to step over the threshold of the Jordan River, you got to first step over the threshold right here. Before you step over the line in the natural, you got to step over the line in your soul, in your time with God. Consecration. Consecration. You might have to die to something. In order to step into something amazing, you might have to let go of something, separate yourself from something, maybe separate from someone, I don't know. God, what is it? What's holding me back? Where am I compromising? Where am I lukewarm? Where do I have no passion? Where do I have no fire? God, where are the dead places in my life that need to come alive? God says, consecrate yourself. Because tomorrow, He has wondrous things he wants to do in your life. And so consecration becomes the seed of harvest. It becomes the seed. They were to prepare themselves for the wondrous things God had for them. And so we all need a consecration moment. You see, how we prepare ourselves, it sets the tone for our crossing over. How you prepare yourself on the east side of the Jordan, it will determine the success when you cross over the Jordan on the land of Canaan side. It'll prepare you. It'll set you up for success. And this is what God is saying. God is saying, I know what it's going to take to make you a success. Consecrate yourself. I know what it's going to take for you to have victory when you confront your giants. Consecrate yourself. I know what it's going to take for you to eat the good of the land and be satisfied. Consecrate yourself. Man, dismiss it. Go ahead and dismiss it. This is on the prophetic map. This was a divine instruction, not only for them. It's in the book for a reason. We read the book to say, God, what are you speaking to me? God says, consecrate yourself. And so, why is it oftentimes that things stay the same? Even though we could switch into a new season time-wise or season-wise in the natural, but nothing changes. I believe it's a lack of seed, a lack of sowing the seed. In this case, the seed of preparation, the seed of consecration. Consecrate yourselves. I want to say this as well. That's something that you got to do. Don't ask God to do it. God cannot consecrate you. Consecration is on an earthly turn, an earthly plane. Consecration is something we have to do. God invites us into it or commands us to do it, but he doesn't force us. God don't consecrate you. Your mama don't consecrate you. Your daddy's prayers don't consecrate you. You gotta consecrate yourself. And so it costs me something personally. It requires something of me. I've got to be willing to take a look within. I've got to be willing to die to some things. I've got to be willing to make some changes. For tomorrow the Lord will do wondrous things among us. I love that word. There's something about that word. Wonder. Wonder. You know, God is called. In fact, one of his names is, he is called Wonderful. You know what that means? That means God is a God of wonder. And so every time I would read this or go over my notes, I'd be like, man, God is a God of wonder. And I happened to look up the word, just pop it in the dictionary. Here's what wonder means: great things. Something that brings you to awe. Or something that you experience that is awe-filled. Or something that God does where you are like, God, you are amazing. You are real. You are alive, God. You are concerned about me. Something that brings awe. Here's what it says in the dictionary. Something that unexpectedly surprises you. Or it's caused by something beautiful. Something unfamiliar. Or something inexplicable or unexplainable. It's God moving in your life that brings awe, that surprises you. It's a wonder. That's what a wonder is. God, oh man, if that's his name, that's his nature. God is a God of wonder. You know, a blessing can be wonder. A long-awaited breakthrough can be a wonder from God. Part of the wonders of God is God unstucking us over here and bringing us into a new season. God moving us and breaking us through the barrier. Every breakthrough is a wonder. Oh my God, when I read this, I think about God's desire for you. God's desire for me. God's desire for my family. He wants our Canaan to be filled with wonder. The wonders of God are in your tomorrow. Some of you, I don't know, some of you are going to get a hold of this. For some of you, this is going to be more than just a wordy message. For some of you, you're going to discern. You're going to decipher. You're going to see what God is saying to you as an individual. You're going to put to practice the revelation of the prophetic math. You're going to hold dear to it. You're going to hide it in your heart. You're going to do it. Some of you are about to collide with the wonders of God in this next season of your life. God, count me in, God. Count me in. My God, the wonders of God are on the other side of Jordan. And so when Joshua said, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you, he's basically saying what I said. You were born for more than this. You were born for more than this. You could stay satisfied on the east side of the river. You could wallow in your disappointment. You could just wonder if things you did think if you did something different, what you could have had, what you would have had. You could just wallow in self-pity. You could do that if you want, but God is saying to you, if you want something different, you were born for something greater than the east side of the Jordan. You were born to cross over. You were born to experience me. You were born to be fruitful. You were born to be satisfied in the land of Canaan. There's more for you. There's more for me. There's more for us. And so there ain't no wonder in wandering 40 years in the wilderness. Come on now. Ain't no wonder in that. There ain't no wonder in eating manna from heaven every day. God's merciful handout just to get by. There ain't no wonder if I have good Nike sneakers that don't wear out for 40 years, but it's the only pair that I wear for 40. Ain't no wonder in that. There ain't no wonder just being satisfied in the wilderness. Ain't no wonder. No, there's wonder when you eat and are satisfied in the land of Canaan where there's more than enough and there is a life of fruitfulness flows with milk and honey. That be the wonders of God. Not just barely squeaking by in the wilderness. There ain't no wonder living in the pit. No, the wonder's in the palace, folks. And God wants to take us from the pit to the palace. That's what it means to cross over. It's something shifts. Something is different. God is doing something new, a new season that brings new life, a fresh wind of his spirit. You will eat of the land and you will be fulfilled and you will be satisfied. Come on now. That's where the wonders of God is. And so Canaan awaits you. Tomorrow the Lord wants to do wonders, but he says you consecrate yourselves now. Well, you take it or leave it. When you get to chapter 3, they cross over the Jordan. I'm just going to read the text. This is basically what Bishop Dupree shared out of last week. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan. The priests were bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflowed its banks, and it was during the time of the harvest that the water which came down from upstream stood still, rose in a heap very far away at Adam, So the waters that went down to the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed. They were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed over the Jordan completely. And it's just like the Red Sea. Same thing, the Red Sea. God, you know what that tells me? Basically says God's still splitting waters for his people. No, God's still splitting waters for his people. He's still making a way where it seems impossible, where your mind cannot even imagine what God has for your future. God's still making a way for you to get there. He's still splitting seas. He's still splitting rivers. He's still busting through obstacles. Why? I'm telling you why. God don't want you camping out on the east side of the Jordan. His desire is to take you into your new season. Are you willing to consecrate yourselves? When you flip the page to chapter 4, when the children of Israel crossed the threshold of the Jordan River, while the river stood still upstream, Joshua then commands 12 of his leaders to go back into the Jordan where the water was split, into the midst of the Jordan where the land was dry. And Joshua said, each one of you leaders, you lift up one of those big heavy stones in the Jordan, you put it on your shoulder, and carry it over to the other side of Jordan, the Canaan side. And he said, I want you to take these 12 monstrous stones and build a memorial, he says. He said, build a memorial. And the memorial that they were to build, it meant that there was a defining moment in their history, and it will always be there. The memorial basically meant, this is the past life that I left behind and the future life that lies ahead before me. That's what the memorial stood for. They were to take those stones in the midst of the threshold. It represented crossing over the threshold, leaving something behind, detaching and separating from something in order to cleave to something better. That's what it meant. That was why it was so significant. And so Joshua told the people of Israel, he said that these stones will speak of this defining moment for the rest of your lives. It'll be a marker that will be here. It'll speak about your history, this moment when God moved in your life, this moment when everything began to change. And he said, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? It's all there. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them the story, how God dried up the Jordan River, how you passed over on dry ground, how God took you from the wilderness of meagerly living up just enough into the land of more than enough. You tell them that God is amazing. You tell them that God wants the best for you. You tell them that God's not dead. God's alive. You tell them what life will be like when you let go of the things that hinder you, when you have faith in your heart, when you cleave to God, when you respect God, when you honor God, when you're obedient to God, when you have enough courage to detach from your past and leave it all behind. You tell them the faithfulness of God. God will do to you what he did to us. That's what they're supposed to say. It was a story. It was a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And so, here we are. Well, that was in the book. What about us here right now? Here's where we are. It just so happens that we're right here. We're right here. We're right here. See, this is when the scriptures come alive. When you can insert yourself and you can find yourself and you can find your journey in the book. This is when God comes alive to you. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Bible was meant to reveal things to you. The Bible was meant to show you yourself. The Bible was meant to show you your journey. The Bible was meant to show you your future. And here we are. We are right here. We are in the book, right here, right now. We haven't crossed over the threshold of a new year. And this is why I'm saying, time's flying. Before you know, bam, bam, here we got Thanksgiving dinner. Bam, here's Christmas. Oh my God, just a couple more days to the new year. Where has time gone? It's been so quickly, so many things to do, so many events to go to. Things have moved so quickly, like a river rushing downstream. You can't control time. It moves so quickly this time of the year. So what do? We are right here, right now. And God is saying, don't wait for the new year. Don't wait for the new year. You'll regret it if you wait for the new year. You prepare now. You prepare right now. God says, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. Cross over the line. Step over the line now. Do it in consecration. Examine your hearts. Get alone with God now. For tomorrow, tomorrow the Lord is about to do wondrous things among you. Tomorrow is going to come on you like a twinkling of an eye. Just like a flash in a pan. It's going to be upon us. God says, now. Now's your moment. Listen, take heed to the word of the living God. Now is your moment. Consecrate yourselves, God says. Now. And so, you know, I really felt yesterday that you know what, this week, that this would be a week of consecration. Oh no, I know we didn't have time to plan this and to put it in the bulletin, put it on the overhead, you know, plan for it, promote it, and do all these things. And sometimes you don't have time for that. Because I really feel like God is saying, like, this is real for me. This is real for you. This is real for the body. This is real for all of us. God has something amazing in store for us. We've been talking about it. We've been deciphering the scriptures. We've been dividing the word of God. We've been extracting from the prophetic map of instruction. And now we're at this place right now. Some of you say, I want to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to step over. God's saying, no, you got the leash on you. You got a leash on you right now. You first consecrate yourself. I know what's right for you. Consecrate yourselves. And I believe God wants this week to be a week of consecration where you could spend time with God, where you could get alone with God, where you could start asking those questions. God, show me. God, where is it? God, how can I do this? God, show me where I need to bump it up. Show me where I need to let go. Show me what I need to put to death. God, show me now. Show me now. Some of you, I believe God wants us to spend time in prayer. He wants us to fast this week. I'm not going to tell you how to fast. I'm not going to tell you whether it's one day, 2 days, one meal every day. You decide, but sacrifice something. Sacrifice something. Get alone with God. Show God that you mean business. God says, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. You can do it. You can do it the way God shows you to do it, but spend time with God. Ask the right questions. Find quiet time where your soul quiets down, and God could speak to you and fast some food. And it just so happens, the weirdest thing in the world, the timing is so crazy. This Friday is the third Friday of the month. This Friday is like prayer. 6:30 to 7:30. I'm going to challenge you. You consecrate yourself this week and you come to prayer Friday night. I don't know how what's going to happen Friday night, but all I know is some of us are going to step over the threshold. Some of us are going to step over the threshold. Now, I don't care if it's only the core. The core is enough. The core is enough. But can you imagine if the church just came out and you, in your consecration week, gave 1 hour to corporately be with the body so that we can corporately decree our consecration and the things God has spoken to us, and that we could step over the line together this Friday night from 6:30 to 7:30. Don't know what it's going to look like. Don't have an agenda. All I know is this week is a week of consecration, and it's going to culminate to Friday night at 6:30 right here in the sanctuary. If you mean business, I want to see you here at 6:30 this Friday night for 1 hour of prayer. I want you to stand to your feet, and let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want what you want for us. We give you our hearts today. We ask you to speak to us intimately and personally this week. When we carve out our time with you, when we start to ask you the questions and we start to make our hearts vulnerable, we start to draw near to you in your presence. We take this seriously that you are speaking to us in this moment with divine instruction. You're calling your people to consecrate themselves. I know it's a tall order, and I know it's costly, and I know it will require something from us. But Lord, what you have for us on the other side, there's no comparison of what we have to let go of. The wonders of God in this new season that you are taking us into. We prepare our hearts this week, and we step over the Jordan River, the threshold, this Friday evening as a body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. You are dismissed. And the cafe is open. If you are a guest, go ahead. Please visit the cafe. And we'll see you Friday night. And have a good time of consecration.